How many different versions are there to that song?
Many there are singers. Okay, so that's now. Do you want to go into that? Now you want? Is that different than what she read? Don't think so.
Yeah, it's different. It's different than what Sasha read.
Not much.
It is different, but what I was getting to is my question that you brushed off there, or I didn't phrase correctly.
Well.
Which is, at the end of the version that I read, they talk about the crown, throne, scepter, the name, and the white stone. And to me, that has an inference of an ascended man.
Right. It's the whole
so
point of the palms of victory that I shall wear.
Right.
See, being victorious means that you in your power and you maintain the victory. You get the victory, and that's the crying of a loud Hosanna that you call in you, and you start, when you start crying Hosanna and you start answering, that's a good sign that something's going on.
Right. So what my point is that with a lot of the references that were being read, they were as if the power was imbued in the scepter. But the point is, it's as if you get to the point where you don't put your power in it, and you have your own scepter.
Well, the reason of that is because of the very scripture that you just read, they just read in a little bit, is Ezekiel 19:14. That the scepter's ruler's no longer strong enough to hold the power.
Mm-hmm.
See, it was, but it ain't no more.
Yeah, exactly. But my point in bringing this up right in the very beginning, though, Ion, is that I don't remember at any point where the scepter came up in this discussion. So it's as if whatever references we previously made to authority now... And you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but it seems as if that any references to authority would, if they were to be symbolized, would be the scepter. Would that be correct?
Right, and that's, you got that from Genesis 49:10.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you say that the scepter is no longer strong enough to hold the power...
Well, that's what Ezekiel said, but yeah.
Okay, Ezekiel says that, but that would also apply to the Ark of the Covenant?
That's an extension.
Well,
see, what they stored in the Ark of the Covenant was the broken tablets, the broken law, the bones of Joseph, the rod, scepter, staff, of Aaron, and a little bit of shewbread.
You're saying that they put the rod of Aaron, the scepter, in the Ark of the Covenant?
Do.
That's new information.
I've heard that.
That's old school.
Well, I know.
Even Dobbs.
I never heard it.
Even Dobbs knew that. So the whole complex.
You say it,
Bob, do you remember that?
Oh, you guys just drowned me out. I was trying to tell you months ago, but... Get drowned up, laughed at, mocked,
giggled.
I mean, hell, even Quoker knew about that.
Yeah, with that whole complex.
Bob, you should send them your timeline. They can know themselves.
No, it seems to be that whole complex, the Ark and all its contents, is Ra'i. And the scepter is part of that, and it's weak because the Ra'i returned to essence, to the plane of essence. So it's Ra'i. That's
left,
the principality,
left,
that environment.
If it left, then it might come back.
Yeah, it might come back. We discussed that earlier after the show. But I'm telling you.
Don't tell them,
yeah.
Bob. You don't tell.
Well, we're waiting to talk to James about the secret event. We discussed the Ra'i coming back.
Oh, I believe he's coming back just like he said.
So, you know, I'm just seeing all of that as a big principality power.
Cry so loud one day he might come back from the dead.
Now, you might take these different scepters and see if they apply to the different empires. or the empires are Rai phenomenon, principalities that are melting away.
We ain't mentioned no empires yet.
Yeah, it's lurking at the margins of Sasha and Bob's mind all the time. And Margarita, we're all just waiting, ready to pounce on the knowledge.
Well, it's all right. And we'd tell you right now, but we don't want you to hurt or drunk on your own liquor. So that's the reason we hold until it applies. And then it's going to be aha. You say, we don't want to get you choked on. Just because it's a great big pearl don't mean you have to swallow it all immediately.
But even the empires are part of this Rai, principality formation, the power externalized.
So saith LaRouche.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I just like Sasha, I knew the broken tablets and the bones of Joseph, and our power was in the Ark of the Covenant, but this was the first I heard. What, did you say there was something, did I miss something else? There was something else besides the Staff of Aaron in there?
Yeah, the broken law.
Now, would the broken law all be the same as the tablets, or is that different?
They are the broken, the ones that Moses throwed down.
Mm-hmm.
Said, you whore sons of fucking bitches, you don't deserve my spit. You sent me up on this hill for me to talk to God and bring you back the law and found out that I am God. And now you're down here having sex with a golden calf, drank it. And he throwed them down and broke the tablets. And they put that in the ark. And they also put the rod of Aaron, which came from Moses.
Mm-hmm.
They also put the bones of Joseph. That's what they carried out of Egypt. And they also had a little bit of shewbread in there, too.
Shewbread. Is there anything else besides our power that we imbued in it? Anything else besides a little shewbread, the rod of Aaron?
There is one. Yes, there is. There is one lock. There's one lock of Pharaoh's hair.
Which Pharaoh?
The two before Seti. Two before Seti the first.
And was that thing that was placed in the ark for future reference?
Well, it was a lock of hair that was swiped by Joseph, and he tucked it away and hid it because it had an accurate depiction of 144,000 DNA in a lock of hair.
Right.
No.
Right, I was just going to say, it had to have something to do with DNA, right? So it is DNA expressed okay, cool.
Reference, yes.
Two before Seti.
Yeah.
So that have to, now, are we speaking of the generations, the seven generations?
No.
Is Seti one of the seven generations? I can't.
No.
Who am I thinking of? I'm thinking of somebody else.
I have no idea. Thinking.
Well,
this ain't a thinking man's game.
But that's of a different, it's of a different realm. I don't want to say the word time.
What do you mean realm? Different realm, different time. I don't get your question.
Well, is that the lock of the Pharaoh's hair? Would it if you had sort of lined it up in linear sense of time? Would it line up or not?
It'd be before Seti. Seti was when Seti.
No. I mean the time that it was placed. Because you just said that Joseph locked it off.
No, Joseph stole it. He took it.
From where did Joseph steal it? From who did Joseph steal it?
From Pharaoh's head.
Oh, right, from his head. So that would. So it would line up then in a linear sense of time. It wouldn't
way
be
before
any
even before the Egyptians allowed the Hebrews to become slaves. Joseph was in Egypt long before the Hebrews got there.
Is that another little bit of a hair in the little in the black box underneath the Sphinx?
No, that was when Bob got a little trim years ago.
Oh, gotcha.
And there was a few little pubes in there too. Just
ew, better wash your hands.
Yeah, wash his hands. Well, that Bob was being introduced to this new waxing process, and he thought he'd try it, but he couldn't decide what he wanted to get, and he didn't know. And so he was gonna go Brazilian, but thought that might be too much. And then he was just gonna go to the other side. So he got bright with it. He said, hey, just give me a Fu Manchu.
Oh,
he had one since.
That's funny right there, Bob.
God.
Good night, some y'all gonna have to explain to him what we just said, so. But now, we love us some Bob. We all in that Quoker quadrant.
We don't need to talk about his pubes, though.
Well, we're happy to. There's nothing off limits. You can now know there's nothing off limits here.
Are we ready for Matthew
27:39? We sure are, if y'all are.
Yeah. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads.
I thought it was 29. Something
like a good headbang.
That was perfectly timed.
Wagging the heads about that. Ew.
No, we didn't want you to read from the Global Village, Gutenberg Galaxy. We wanted you to get to the Matthew's version.
Wait, am I doing? Oh. I'm sorry, I read 39. I'm supposed to. Is 27:37? Or 27:39. I can't read my writing. Is it?
Y'all
did you want Matthew 27:37?
39. See what happens, Barbara, when you try to be real efficient?
I know.
You were there. Let's move on. Enough of this talk about Bob's penis. Come on, let's get on. And look what happened.
We didn't say that about your
penis. You pushed
it. Standpoint.
We didn't.
Oh, weren't you talking about waxing my penis or something?
No, your pubes. It's 27:29.
Oh, 27:29. I don't know how I got that.
No, I was going to bless Barbara for moving us out of that humiliating excerpt about me, but then the efficiency of Barbara doing it, she read the wrong thing.
Okay, I wrote it down completely wrong. Okay, so 27:29. And when they platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews."
Mm-hmm. So they
read 30. Well, I was just going to say read 30 because it's got what we were talking about with David, at least, you know, with the smoke.
And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head.
Mm-hmm. That's a scepter. They put a crown of thorns on his head and said, "Hail, hail, the king's all here." They put a stick in his right hand like a scepter. They knelt before the King of the Jews, saying, "Hail, hail, King of the Jews."
Oh.
Then they took that same stick and smote him in the head as a scepter, referenced of a scepter.
Who did this? Who smote him?
Well, that would be Bob. Do you remember that soldier that didn't die, that was cursed to walk the earth to the end of days?
The one who didn't die at the third Jesus crucifixion.
That's the one we're talking about here in Matthew.
Oh, but he's up in Afghanistan now, I think. Some Tibetan monastery.
Yeah.
Isn't that the one that stabbed him or speared him in the heart?
That's what I'm thinking of, yeah.
The sword, what do you call the sword of? Come on, y'all.
Destiny.
Yeah. Very good.
So he did, he smote, who were we talking about here? Who did he smote? Which guy? David? Joseph? Bill?
Jesus.
No, no, Palmer. But he did, we're talking about this other guy before.
Jesus.
Oh, were we talking about Jesus, the stick?
Well, it said hell, king of the Jews.
The stick figure of Jesus, yes.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Okay, we shifted to the Jesus time. We're left to Egypt.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's another example where the scepter is used as a stick. I see. That guy, hey, here's a question. Does the guy who smote Jesus or took the sword, put the sword in, is he aware of our activities up there in his monastery right now?
No.
See, these guys we're talking about, they know what we're doing. They're listening
well,
in.
He's got to be liking this, Bob.
Yeah.
So, and when they plotted a crown...
What was Jupiter then? Does Jupiter hold a rod, a staff, a scepter as well? The sky god.
What was your question?
I think she's gone. Are you still with us, Sue Bone? Is Sue Bone still here?
I'm still here.
What do you think of this recent scenario of the guy who put the sword into Jesus' rib, the third Jesus who got crucified? He's still alive. He's up in a monastery somewhere in Tibet or Afghanistan, and he's aware of what we're doing. And you know why he never died? Ian said it's because he converted to Christianity, which said something about the second coming and Jesus coming back or something. So he will not die until Jesus returns.
Mm. And he's waiting around in Afghanistan?
Yeah, he's waiting.
With all those bombs?
Yeah.
But he's the mortal one. He's not eternal. Are you talking about the guy who speared the spear of...
He's still alive. The soldier who took put the spear in the crucified Jesus, he's still alive because he converted to Christianity and took the dogma that he couldn't do anything until Jesus returns. So he's waiting until Jesus returns.
Right.
Did I get that
What's
right,
his name?
Ion? How did that work?
All right.
Stuck as he's immortal, right?
No, he just refuses to die. He's wanting to die, but he won't do it
but
until
he can't
Jesus
because
returns.
Of the labyrinth of his mind, what his beliefs are.
Yeah,
he can't be eternal. He's immortal.
Right. Which reminds me, I was going to ask about half an hour ago. Were there any vampires who witnessed the David and Goliath scene? Now, vampires start after. Whatever that guy was, Count somebody, Vladimir the something.
Dracula.
It's Vladimir the Impaler. He starts the vampire thing. Now, would vampires...
Vlad the Impaler.
Vlad, yeah. Are there any vampires since Vlad who placed themselves back in the David and Goliath scene and witnessed it so that they would be standing there, but they'd be projection from the future?
Yeah.
See? Imagine vampires watching that. What is it? Densifying
Eric,
the scenario.
Do you even see that laid out with that Eric Northman on your True Blood, Bobby?
Yep. True Blood. Interesting attempt to smear us.
Hey,
they try to smear us.
It's not working out.
Hey, Ion, I looked up the pharaoh two before Seti the first, and it was Horemheb. Is that correct?
That is correct. Horemheb.
Horemheb.
Mm-hmm. Do.
Okay. Good. So, Ian, what is why you wanted to reference this Matthew 27:29 regarding all, since we were...
It's showing, darling, it's showing once again how even from that short, backed up little bit of space, even then the scepter was losing its power. And then they turn that into an orb that sitting gods and queens give them power when they've got a scepter and an orb. They're hooked up.
So it's really, and it's representing the power that they have within them, that they know, that they've claimed their power, they're engaging in ascension.
They use these outside sources to validate their place of power, the seat of authority, to ascend to the throne.
Yeah, these are powerful icons, artifacts, instruments before the phonetic alphabet. The phonetic alphabet
then
is...
Then since the phonetic alphabet, they only represent authority, not power.
Yeah, they become weakened because the new power is the effect of the phonetic alphabet.
They have to
That's
lock
the
them up in the tower. They have to lock them up in the tower just to keep the idiots from stealing them.
Yeah, look at the phonetic alphabet.
You're not too much of a king or a god if somebody can steal your throne.
Yeah, it's like the phonetic alphabet is this invisible environment that's having the new numbing effect, taking away people's power. And that is what McLuhan and Joyce were pointing to, is the this invisible phonetic alphabet is going to numb people a new way, so all the tribal artifacts of power, like the scepter, become weakened. Then the printing press enhances the power of the phonetic alphabet, and then the printing press melts away, like the scepter, when you get into the electric age.
Okay.
Now, right now...
Okay, now what?
And Thompson is pretty good on writing on that. The Thompson quadrant. Sasha, have you looked at coming into being yet?
Yeah, it just arrived today, Bob.
Right, because that is the... That tries to say what I just said.
Hmm? Yeah,
so now you can throw the fucking book away, Bob. Just listen. Bob fixed it up for you in one sentence.
No, it gives the detail related to the artifact she's interested in, like Gilgamesh.
Okay.
So the Philistines kind of won because then they started the alphabet, the phonetic
That's
alphabet.
Right.
Oh, I won.
Did they win the battle or did they win the war?
Oh, they won the battle.
They didn't win the war.
No, because... Yes.
If they had won the war, we wouldn't be sitting here talking to Ion today.
That's right.
Hey, Bob, it's been 5.5 hours. How are we going to go much further, or we're going to...
Yeah, okay, we can go a little further. Is everybody still here? Is Ginny here? Is Greg still here?
I'm here, Sue.
I'm here.
Can we go over some of the questions?
I think we should. Yeah, why don't we do what Ginny wanted to do, which is, if Sheldon's here, he'll go through
Barbara's
the ring.
Barbara's been asking since itched, asked her questions.
What? Oh, she's just been reading. Okay, after Barbara, we should do some of the rings the way Ginny wanted to do it for Sheldon's benefit, and Sue's, and Barbara.
Okay, well, I want to know about the blue dwarf star. Or the blue star that's headed for our solar system? Headed for our solar system?
Not your solar system. Screw the solar system. That's ridiculous. The Earth.
That's our Earth.
Yeah.
And what will be the effect on our planet, on our Earth?
Okay. You need a little background on that so you don't blow your brains out before supper.
Okay.
James. Wake up.
Yes.
Okay. Describe the difference between a brown dwarf star, a red dwarf star, and a blue dwarf star. Just to clean this up a little bit so we can get a little background so this don't end in tears.
Okay. Well, one is moving away. I think that's a red dwarf that's moving away from us. The brown is neither moving.
Right.
Right. Yeah, and the blue is the one that moves towards us.
Okay, so give us a working knowing of a dwarf star.
Dwarf star.
See, that's
well,
what she's asking, and we don't even know what it is.
They can be moving and not moving, so I don't know in
well,
that
no,
aspect.
No. I just mean a dwarf star. What's a dwarf star rather than a giant star or a pickled star or a gefilte fish star? They talk about a dwarf star in a specific relation.
That it's, I don't know if it's a dying star or a...
Look,
something like that.
What we're trying to say is look it up.
The term dwarf star refers to a variety of distinct classes of stars.
This is not a valid menu option.
Dwarf refers to any main sequence star, a star of luminosity class 5, red dwarf, the low mass main sequence, for main sequence dwarf stars with mass is comparable to that. The sun is a yellow dwarf. A blue dwarf is a low mass star which is hypothesized to be the post main sequence form of a red dwarf.
Now, does that help you, Barb?
A little. Okay. The blue dwarf is not a little.
You ask. This is the point of talking, right? You ask and get it cleaned up, and then we'll help even still.
So it's a blue dwarf is a mass star which is hypothesized to be the post main sequence form of a red dwarf.
Okay, so it comes after a red dwarf.
Post main sequence of red dwarf. And the red dwarf are low mass main sequence star. Just going to look up the definition.
When you say low mass, James, what is she saying?
Yeah, I know.
High specific gravity.
There you go. Has nothing to do with size, does it?
No.
Good.
But the definition of main sequence, when they're talking about low mass main sequence is a continuous and distinctive band of stars that appears on plots of stellar color versus brightness. These color magnitude plots is known as Hertzsprung-Russell diagrams of the developers. After a star has created energy at the hot, dense core region through the nuclear fusion of hydrogen atoms into helium.
Easy. They said some glib catchwords.
Yeah.
Hydrogen, the change of hydrogen, and the interaction with helium. Does that sound familiar to everybody?
Yeah.
What happens after the thunders? Shall we do the formula for the new environment again, or y'all kind of got it in your sleep by now?
Maybe it can be tested.
Do it again.
You won't catch us repeating gossip. Y'all better start learning to listen for the 18th time.
Yeah, Sheila was painting when it was said the first time.
Well, she should have painted that damn formula, but now...
I am painting it.
Well, then get it out of your sketchbook.
Hey, James, what did Ian just say about helium? What did Ian just say about helium, James?
Hydrogen and helium, their interaction, I think, determines the color of the star, perhaps.
And what star, what color is coming?
Blue.
But it also says here that main sequence sometimes divided into upper and lower parts based on the dominant process that a star to generate energy. Stars below 1.5 times the mass sun primarily fuse hydrogen atoms together in a series of stages to form helium, a sequence called the proton exchange.
So 1.5 times the size of the sun is pretty decent size, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if it were in orbit around the Earth, what would that be like?
Would it tear up the Earth's surface of the end?
Well, would it go into orbit, or would it dispel it? You're on that funked out microphone, darling. You're gonna have to come a little in, bring it in for a landing.
What you said? Would it go into orbit?
We can hear you, even though no one else can. You know we can hear you.
Is that better?
No, you're right. Yeah. It sounds like you're
pull the string
away.
Against the can a little bit tighter, baby.
Does that be better?
Not much.
It's as though you're in mute.
Yeah, you fixed it last time, Sheila. You know, 5 hours into it, you found the button to press. Press that button.
Call Deb. Deb, send her an email and tell her which button to push. She's got more mute buttons than anybody.
Does that be better?
Sounds like you're on speaker.
In speaker, but it sounds like you're on the neighbor speakerphone.
Really? Yeah. Okay, I'll have to buy a new one.
Yeah. Is Deb still with us? What's happening at the swimming pool?
That 15 minutes. You have to ask that 15 minutes in advance so that you can let her push the button.
Great. Is Margarita still at the pool?
No, I got inside because there was a lot of noise too.
Lord, so now I think the party. I tell you what, the parties and the margaritas is following you tonight, ain't they, honey?
Yeah, wherever I go, there's party and the noise and all stuff. But now I'm in a quiet place.
Well, get your apron on and go make them up a good mole. It'll be just like home.
I don't know about that.
So we've done the blue dwarf.
But now that we know what the post main
the sequence form of a
main
red dwarf.
Sequence. Red dwarf is low mass main sequence, and then the blue post.
Okay. Now that's what they say it is. Now we're gonna clean it up. We're gonna actually answer a question, maybe the first one tonight. What's happening, just like it was laid out in the event, is that you as gods are ushering in a new heaven and a new earth. Well, in order to engage in new heaven and a new earth, the worth you know now and the heaven you know now must change, must shift. And as Bob would say, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
So then this right. outcome or perspective that we said is, and it is, and even science is starting to even get a Nickelback's worth of it, you know, or something, or at least get the ingredients to make up a salty dog, even if they don't know how to make one, but they can get it together so that it's starting to become an outcome. And they say that, and they talk about it in the science, you know how we feel about that, that it's not if you have something strike the earth, it's a when. Not an if, it's a when something strikes the earth.
So this goes back to this
in the old school, this goes back with Greg's brilliant question regarding the difference between a meteor and a meteorite. But we were in the confines of a little handful thing. We were actually talking about a great big thing, but we weren't asked that way. You had to get it step by step.
Uh-huh.
So now you're considering this coming, crashing, hurtling
towards the Earth, and it's going to smash the Earth.
Well, we didn't necessarily say that. We said it's coming toward the Earth.
But you said it. You just said if it strikes the Earth, it's.
That's what science says. We know how we use science.
Okay.
But that means that it could come careening to the Earth and it be the end of the world as you know it. You know that song, we play it all the time. The end of the world as you know it, and just short of that, it changes and becomes the capacitor for a huge portion of this final conversion phase of broke down Bob Rule.
Okay, so what do you mean exactly by that? So this object, this blue dwarf star, is going to come in like that, show up and be right there, and that's. Will that be our new Earth, or our new Earth will be created because
of
this? Oh,
no, it'll be a moon.
But it'll be
wreak havoc with the Earth.
So that'll be the second moon that you keep talking about, Ion?
Yes, baby.
Okay.
And what will be the effect on Earth?
Heaven.
Will it wreak will wreak havoc on places around it. That's when some people decide to leave.
For all like the little men, it'll be what they call hell on earth.
Hell on earth.
For the little men.
And that's just because of their perspective or their...
Very good, very good. Socio perception.
Their vibration?
Socio perception. That's all. <bottom.
laughs> Thanks, so that's when everything will break down.
That'll be their perception.
Well, it kind of already has, but see, it kind of already has, Sue. That's the point. And there is no time frame. There is no hurry. There is no run, kick like a bad game of soccer. Lesson except you human creators have set the clock. You started this process. So now, since you've set the process, it is. But you, Brian, is all, Brian's got a great big old erection. Somebody's been to get pregnant. He's hot. He's tired of waiting. He's ready. He's ripe. He's in. Okay? So, and he don't care what anybody else thinks. And we agree. We think it's wonderful. It actually... The more you humans come into your place of power, the easier we get. The less you humans engage in this place of power and don't completely embrace it, the stronger we become.
So,
okay, is this the blue star what they refer to as the comet Elenin?
Good Jesus, no.
Okay.
So, when people speak about the two suns, was the two suns the blue dwarf or not?
Well, two suns has many references. The one you're trying to cram down our throat hole specifically is?
Mm-hmm. Is the relationship.
You should answer that question.
You mean I should answer that question?
Yeah, the answer is, you're talking about you made a specific reference to the two suns, and we said there are millions of two suns.
Well, is that Nibiru?
No.
No? Okay, well, what's the answer?
X, blue, Kachina.
It's not even known. You've just now named the white stone, y'all. Can't go by the machinations of some hubba bubba MOUSE out of business defunct NASA's proprioceptive drunken delirium.
Okay, well, we're just cleaning it up right here, right now, so that's all.
That's right. And we are too. You had to come a long way, baby, to get to here. Because this ain't the first rodeo y'all have tried to get this, and we're trying to get you there. But you see how we couldn't just say it? We actually already have. You didn't get it then, but you're now on a different place, a different position, so that you might actually get some semblance of the process that you, the human creators, gods, storming around the earth, have indeed created.
It's the salt and the light of the earth.
That's exactly right. And it's the salt and the light of the earth that will keep the blue dwarf from impaling your creation. See, Ezekiel 1:22 says it's like the color of the terrible crystal.
Wait.
This blue dwarf, is like that?
Ew.
So the terrible crystal is the white stone?
No. Terrible crystal is the blue dwarf.
It sounds like a big bowl of nutrition.
It's over your head. There you go. Now you're getting there. Sounds like the biggest ice cream cone you could ever imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Is the color of the terrible crystal amber?
It will be when it arrives from your perspective.
And you mentioned something about... Well, how do I get to our sun burning up?
Going supernova. Yeah.
It is.
Is that... What does that mean exactly? What would be the effect of our sun burning up?
Okay, Jane, tell them about supernova.
Well, I don't. I can look it up, but.
Well, that's the good. That a boy.
Yay! But the outcome is.
We just love it when you tell Bob to fuck off. That's just too cool for school.
That's fun. He loves it too. So yeah.
He does. He does.
That's never happened. Rough. That's never happened.
Yeah.
I tell you all the time.
No, I never hear it.
Evening. Early.
You make sure I'm not there and don't hear it.
No. It's recorded.
Yeah, it's recorded. I even got the fuck you song up. Supernova is a stellar explosion that is more energetic than a nova, which we don't even know what a nova is, but anyway.
We do.
Well, supernova are extremely luminous and cause a burst of radiation that often briefly outshines an entire galaxy before fading from view over several weeks or months. So, big explosion, lots of radiation, lots of food for us.
And then the blue dwarf up for the sun, or is this completely not, are these like different times?
Oh, you won't need a sun, honey. You're going to become salt and light.
Yeah, we'll be the sun. We'll be shining so bright.
That little light of urine, you're going to let it burn.
Where our new bodies come in.
Will this help with
the new bodies are coming in you right now, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, you're already reporting about your new body. So, hey.
Would this supernova be part of the carbon fusion for the super sugar coming, or?
No, it wouldn't be. No, that's already here. See, that's already here. That's already here.
It is.
Yeah.
But is a supernova, is this somewhere in our greater, or is it like, I don't know, way off, or?
It's our sun. Our sun.
Will it be bigger than the Crab Nebulae earlier this year?
Oh, yeah.
Is this going to be sun, supernova of a sun?
No. Well, that's your sun's going supernova. That's been going on for a long time.
So what is the blue dwarf?
It'll be another moon. Another moon.
Just the moon.
It's going to be another
moon. No, it's not just the damn moon. It's another moon. That's 1.5 times bigger than the sun.
Oh, 1.5 times bigger than the sun.
That's what they read.
So Ion is our sun goes supernova.
Oh, she's up.
Stop it. Uh-huh. Stop it. Stop mocking me, Ion. So as the sun goes supernova, it's kind of waning, and then the blue dwarf star comes down. Does it kind of take over the waning of the sun, and together they just make what used to be our sun?
It won't. You'll be the sun, so you will be the essence of salt and light.
Yeah. Okay.
Individually, but now what'll happen is if you really knew what a blue dwarf star was, you'd realize that drawing of your sun going supernova would actually set it in a perspective and would absorb as an energy source.
Without
the sun, you have a hard time getting your chlorophyll to work. But luckily, you've had one or two sessions to find out how those phytoplanktons are going to change, aren't they?
So by then, we'll know. Our bodies will be able to just take the radiation from the sun and this new moon.
And suck it up like sorghum syrup.
Simulator.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Cool.
And that'll be in a few months.
Just so everyone knows. Yeah.
April 5th, 2012.
What's that song, Blue Moon? Why don't you give us a few bars of the Blue Moon, Ion?
Well, yeah, that'd be pretty interesting. Yeah.
So you'll see, nothing will happen on April 5th. And you'll wonder what Ion meant. And Ion said, we don't do time.
Well, it's up to us. He's already said that.
I mean, Ginny's just sitting there quivering for the blue moon. Ginny's just totally apprehensive about it.
It wouldn't be at all. It wouldn't be at all less than except y'all started the process. So
yeah, we're causing it. It'll just happen to us.
This is y'all's little defecation, not ours.
Is this why the sun is the?
We're tickled. Is this is why the sun is
appearing to be like a brighter white instead of a yellow? It's not yellow anymore.
Right. Well, yes. But then flooding your atmosphere with H197 that's not been stabilized yet shouldn't hurt either.
H197 will help the atmosphere, is what you're saying?
Well, to ascended ones, yes.
Yes, ascended ones.
It'll be to the travail of little man.
It sounds like all stuff is coming up pretty soon.
Soon and very soon. Brian.
No, it ain't going to happen, Barbara. Don't get too caught up in the ions, a string of images.
Soon and very
it's just this week's stream of images.
So with the electrons that H197 has to borrow, does that create, obviously, conductivity? On a mass scale?
It depends on how many carbons you have.
Okay.
And we get more carbons by taking the RNA drops.
No, you don't want to count things.
Oh, you don't want to count.
You can. Yes, you do. He said count. He didn't say carbon. You're a carbon-based life form. You want lots more of you.
No.
<All right.
laughs>
Bob,
it's silly.
Because he no longer has to go to the post office.
Yes. That's the new level of poise that Bart noticed.
Bob is the post office now. That's it.
So this is silly talk. Let's get to the angel diagrams for Sue, Barb, and Legend and Brian and Sheldon's benefit.
What was silly talk, Bob?
Oh, blue star nonsense. Next April 5th, nothing's going to be happening. Big moon's going to happen. Ridiculous.
April 5th anyway?
What?
Who said anything about April 5th, 2012?
Well, that was before you showed up. That's when this topic came up a couple of years ago. And months ago or something in our group, and Ion laid out the date for the terrible clusterfuck. What is it? Terrible diamond?
Terrible crystal.
That would be April 5th, 2012. Now, I pursued this a little bit, and Ion's starting to waffle now. He didn't really mean that. So you'll realize as you go through these sessions, that Ion strings images together, get you all worked up, and then it's forgotten about.
Maybe that's because we changed it.
It was on April Fool's?
April 5th.
No, it was on April Fool's.
Is that a card, a tarot card or something?
April
Fool's. No, I'm just making a joke that it was on April Fool's.
Yeah.
That's exactly the precise way to handle it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're saying, oh, this will be for the little men. Who's a little man? You know who a little man is?
Those who aren't ascended.
Yeah, well, who's that?
The power as those that have a power of God and still run around using degree of separation questions. That's who.
Yeah. Don't start trying to find any, though.
Well, if you're ascended, you won't be looking for one. See, it won't matter. Because it's supposed to be about the fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if it is, then it is. And if it's not, you'll find that out soon enough, too. Right?
Right.
Right. The new heaven and the new earth. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we'll see.
Must be 6 hours.
Yeah.
He's starting to fall away. Okay, now you ready to do the cheaty charts? You still got it. There's still 13 of you, so they hanging on, Bobby.
Pretty good.
Who has a question about the angel chart?
There's some foolishness Bob wanted to go into. It's ridiculous, but he wanted to do it, so let's do it.
Ginny wanted to do it.
Well, then let's do it.
If Ginny's
I thought it was
not...
good information about the blue door. Thank you.
Don't hold on to it, Barbara. Don't do any thinking about it.
But didn't you get that information? I mean, was there more you wanted from that baby?
What's that?
Is there more than you wanted from that baby?
I think I'm good. I mean...
What are you going to do with it, Barbara?
Yeah,
what are you going to do with that?
I don't know. I guess be prepared for it. Make sure I'm in my power.
No,
well, make sure that I'm
what's
in my power.
What do you
want to
be prepared for? Come on, Barbara.
You don't
want to be prepared for it. There's nothing to prepare for.
Well, the
just
better question is, describe the process you'd use to prepare for that event.
I would make sure that I'm in power and continue to take my RNA drops and listen. Talk to the angels.
Before you get cream. If you were to have heard Ion talking, 3 days before the Fukushima event, and you got all this information, which by the way we did, about how all this stuff was going to happen, and how shit was going to be blowing up, and radio was going to be everywhere, and more Hondas or whatever the hell else it was.
We quoted Margaret Thatcher. We will blow your shit up.
When you consider it, like two nuclear meltdowns in the U.S., that's probably the biggest news story ever. And
it's not.
Well,
didn't even make Drudge. It didn't
well,
even make.
Barely, barely made one
well,
website, and that's it.
Yeah, and I mean, Barbara, how would you prepare for that? That's a joke. How would you prepare for that? I mean, that's just, I'm not trying to be, disrespectful of your desire, but you're ascending, you're in the game, you're playing all out, you're
it's not even significant. Ginny's supporting my position.
Just,
this blue dwarf stuff is not even worth
it.
None of this, anything about outside of whatever you think you are, Barbara, isn't relevant.
I just got back in. I'm sorry.
There's always more.
Oh, you missed that. You missed. We just beat the hell out of you.
Oh, great.
You should have been weird because I was so silent during that whole beating up.
That's it. We thought, oh, God, they smote Barbara and she has a concussion.
No, I dropped off as soon as she said something, and then I dropped off. I didn't hear a thing. I just got that.
Okay, well, Ginny, repeat what you were saying to her.
What I was saying, Barbara, was that right before the Fukushima thing jumped off, Ion was telling us about how every nuclear reactor on the planet is totally unstable. And the precipitating the event, quoting Margaret Thatcher and, saying all this stuff and about, what will be, nuclear radiated hot dogs or whatever. I mean, we had no idea but Ion was laying it all out, and we didn't even have RNA drop, and I can't remember a time anymore. But the point is that how would any of us prepared? We were just taking it all in and listening and going, oh wow, well that's, then when it dropped, it was like, oh well, this is kind of cool, and everybody started sucking in more radiation, and it was fine. So I guess I just say all that to say that don't prepare for any of this stuff. I mean, the medium is the message, which basically means the environment is much more significant than the content. So just hanging out with on is the environment, and the content is just, it's almost like sex for your brain. So it'll give it something to do while the robber is running around stealing all your shirt. You're just don't worry about it.
Yeah, and if you do that just right, you can call that a gizgasm.
Yeah, if you heard a recording in 4 months, Barbara, if you heard this session, this recording, this part where you've led the discussion of the dwarf star, you'd be hanging your head over your steering wheel, totally humiliated that you were even interested in the blue dwarf.
Oh, it's interesting.
You mean 4 months from now or 4 months?
You'd be embarrassed. I actually pursued a topic.
No, it's interesting. It's interesting from an outcome. And
well, it's not even
going to
happen, Ion. You're making it up. I mean, there's no indication of this stuff going to happen.
It kind of is.
Well, yeah.
There actually
is
a lot of...
Purple did sort of blow, didn't it, Bob? Time did stop. The Earth did stop spinning. The world
something
are
is
moving.
Coming. Yeah, something is coming in this way.
Oh, there it is. You're worried about the big something.
Day, but what does it? Yeah, what does it matter? Something's always coming this way.
We're coming this way, and Barbara, you're acting.
I think I think we're living in extremely interesting times when the shit hits the fan. I don't know. I mean, I.
Okay, Barbara, do you believe that us talking about this, we're the ones who are making it more interesting?
Make it more what?
The blue dwarf is happening, according to Ion, because this group, is talking about it. These 14 people are pulling the thing here.
You absolutely are. Now, that's for sure.
All right, let's talk about something else.
Yeah, so...
you want it.
Never mind.
No. Well, we like never mind, but no, it's great fun. It's great fun. Bring it on. Brian says, polish my damn lap stands now. I'm ready. I want them shined up. No dust on my...
Well, you know, something's big. Okay. Well, all right.
You said something's big. You started to say something's big what?
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, something's big because Ion wouldn't arrive in the first place.
Is you. You're going to grow to...
Right, to help us to our power.
Oh, my gosh. Barbara, can somebody turn off your vibration thing? Who's got the...
Vibration.
Yes, I have it.
It's the auto-tune.
Someone has a speaker. That's why it sounds like that.
Yeah.
I like the vibrator better, but...
Vibrator better.
Okay, good.
Well,
that sounds better.
Bless your heart, Brian.
Brian, I've never known you to be so revealing. Not right. You can usually play so close to the chest.
Well, it's getting late. I apologize.
Oh, you let it fly after hours. Okay, I get it now. Okay.
So, Jenny, you could walk or start the rings for Barbara Sue and Legend and Mentor and all the other people listening.
Especially those that aren't here.
Yeah. For all their benefit, go through the rings? Or whatever you...
Well, I was the only thing I was suggesting was Sasha put that up there. I just thought that the new people might want to say, okay, well, is this and what does it mean? Let's get down to it.
Yeah.
You know, clean up anything that's not on there. I don't necessarily care to lead the questions. All I could say, what the hell is all this? But, I mean, you'll take a part that interests you, and now you've got something to work with where you can start to develop some stuff, you know?
Right.
So don't take that as face value.
So are you looking at the image of the angel diagram?
I am.
Okay, and then Barbara is. And Mentor couldn't make it.
6 hours?
No, just another 20 minutes or whatever, not too long. Mentor couldn't make it. Legend isn't here. So, Sheldon, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so are you looking at the image of the angel diagram?
Yeah.
Okay, so, Ginny, I don't have the energy for it for the beginning, so you begin, Ginny, how you want to...
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're looking at the angel diagram, you can see there are... all these points underneath it, the different rings within the diagram. And so it was back in the day that we would literally, like week by week, we would start with ring. So if you go to where the cross is in the middle of the chart, that's the 14. and then you see Va, Na, La, or we're going from 12 o'clock, and we go clockwise around and say, okay, that's the second ring, and then you go to the star, and there's another ring, and another ring, and you kind of work your way out. And in the middle of it is the Pentagon kind of thing that's got, that looks like an Escher, and when we talk about the Escher, that's what that means, the Escher, like in a Harry Potter movie. And then it just keeps going. Well, every single one of those rings had something that related, and that we found this out over time. Each one of those rings was kind of a position within the chart. And if you were to see that in, you know, from a triangulation just meaning, you know, the frequency and pinpointed aspect that you're talking about. So you would be able to find different segments in different places on the chart that are related, how they all kind of went in and out, and how they all interacted. We found out that the first seven rings are chemical, the last rings are vibrational, and we got different definitions for each. So, like, starting with ring one, it would say the cross is the throne, the cross is chromosome 14, it's not a ring, it loops with the ring. Well, each one of the things are things that we started to discern and delineate after ION, week after week after week after week. We would go back and we'd keep whittling and whittling and whittling away at it. There's a couple things that I saw, like, for example, in the ring where it says in ring one, it says, the cross is me on the throne, the cross is chromosome 14. And then you go down a little bit, and it says, then it starts in with the chromosome, in the diagram, the syllables are a wind and a gas, and the four winds are chemical gases, and they're neon, argon, krypton, and which is true, or which is what ION has told us. And we did a lot of research upon all that, the empty spaces, the whole diagram, or the ionosphere, and different things. But some of those may not be properly placed because the winds that are held back in abeyance, and that's when you have to go back to Revelations, that four winds are referring to, and those were the four winds, those chemical gases. I just say all that to say that if you look through this and you read down, you could check anything that caught your eye. Like it says ring three, five names. What the heck is that? Angel of the East, silicon dioxide. What does that mean? You know, ring four, ring five. And go through and just find something that's interesting to you and say, okay, well, let's start to go back and look at this and say, does this make sense? And also, is it accurate? Because this has been, you know, calculated by different people. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, it wouldn't make sense. You strung together some images, but it was a beginning point to pick apart. One interesting statement.
Right,
you said the Escher thing was in Harry Potter movie or something.
Yeah, the Escher, you know, I mean, when we first started doing this
in Hogwarts, the staircase is a form.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The whole staircase thing is sort of like the ring seven.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay.
Well, and that's how ION helped to develop. I didn't even know what an Escher was. I didn't know who Escher was. I didn't know anything about that. So I was like, well, what's an Escher? And ION said, well, it's in Harry Potter. I went and looked at the movie, and when I saw the staircase, I got it. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, I have those in my dreams, for crying out loud. But I didn't know what it was. So
yeah, they're sort of going up and down. Like an Escher
jumping
painting.
Off points.
Yeah.
What are jumping off points?
All these words.
Yeah, like, repeat what she said. What did you learn about the structure of the 14 rings? I don't expect you to say much. You can't remember what
Who
what
are you
said.
Speaking to, Bob?
To Sue and Barbara and Sheldon.
Oh, yeah. No.
What did you learn? Repeat what...
There's rings. You can see the rings when she's describing it that way. It starts with the Va, Na, El, Le, and then you go outwards. And I don't know what any of these mean yet, exactly. You talked about One was
well, she just told you what they meant.
A chemical.
She just told you what they meant. So here's it. So what the image is the image of a perfect cell. So this is showing you what a perfect cell is and how you get to a perfect cell. How you grow 144,000 strands. Now you can find this image on the internet through people like Dan Winter.
Consciously or unconsciously?
What?
You're explaining the unconscious process of creating the perfect cell.
No, I don't know if it's unconscious. The factors that go into it. So you got 14 rings, and the first seven is your guts,
chemical.
Your lipids, your makeup inside your stomach down to the cell. Okay? And then there's the environment around you, which is the rings 8 to 14. So you got an inner and an outer. Now, the middle part, the Escher, ring 7, is the interface between the inner and the outer. And what I'm saying is just one level of approaching it. This also, this image, is a picture, an epileptical picture of a mouth talking to the angels. And this is the content of the mouth. This is the chemicals in the saliva, the first 7 rings, and in the DNA of the cell, in the mouth that you put your RNA drops in, and then the outer 7 rings would be the area around the mouth. Okay? So that's another way. And the third way to look at it, this is a trumpet blowing, the horn of a trumpet, the rim. And all these vibration levels are coming out, all these frequencies. It's what Zappa called the mystery horn. In his story on the Grand Wazoo. So you're looking at an image that has many ways of approximating it.
And then how it relates to you right here, right now, is that it's a very practical, appropriate explanation for what is happening in your body as you take in RNA drops, what is happening in the environment, like, you know, ion talked about the wind blowing. You heard that in Revelations. You heard, I mean, the very first, and I was right, one of the very first things that was ever said on the rewrite call was Brian got on the phone and just started saying, when are them game angels going to let go of them wind so I can have my throne? You know, I mean, he started the very first night with, and it was months of developing what were the winds.
Hey, Jimmy.
Why would the winds blow?
Yeah. Hey,
yeah.
Jimmy. The first
Yeah.
When I first talked to Brian, who I could tell on Tailgate was trying to find someone to talk to, so I called him up and we had a long talk. But the first issue Brian said about me, he says, Bob, when Ian mentioned the winds, you didn't ask what the winds were. And he was on my case for not asking what the winds were, and I didn't remember anything about it. I didn't know I hadn't asked about it. So I accepted that. That really was the first bone that he wanted to find out. You should have developed what the winds were. And we did that in the first session, as along with the throne. That's how really the beginning.
Right, but we didn't actually find out. We didn't find out what we heard about the winds. We knew what they, how they were going to blow, when they were, blah, 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 blah. But we didn't find out their actual, until one night, when after the winds had blown, we were like, but what is it? And finally we realized, oh, it must be chemicals. So we're like, well, what's the chemistry equivalent of the winds? Because we realized that since it was in that ring, it was within the chemical zone of the chart.
Yeah.
So we knew it had to be chemistry. So I was like, okay, well, then what's the chemical thing? And then Ion says, oh, okay, yeah. Well, they're argon, you know, they're the noble gas. And he said, and this is the way it's going to affect the environment. And then the next thing
you
know, bam, bam, bam. It was unbelievable just to watch it all lay out.
Jenny, if we didn't make it confidential, you could put this angel diagram on Matthew's website and say, this is a mouth that eats RNA drops. And the chemistry of the mouth changes, is changed by RNA drops, so it breathes out stuff that's causing the collapse of Japan's purple stuff. It's the exhalation is changing the world, the atmosphere. And some of the name, the chemical compound of that atmosphere is given in ring 2, right? Ring 2?
Yeah.
Ring 3 or ring 4? Ring 2. So,
well,
so
I'll
you
tell
have
you,
this,
I have. Go ahead. Go ahead.
So you, see, you have this mouth that is ascending, because Ion said the only thing physical in the world is the words, or whatever the word is, whatever you think is wording, that is the only physical thing. Everything else is non-physical. So, and that includes nature. So this is a picture of the mouth, which is the only real thing in your being, because it's the thing that creates, and this is the chemical content of the saliva. And the effect of that ionized or ionized saliva changes the outer seven rings, the environment, or the region beyond the circle, to have more radioactivity.
Yes. Now this is a pure. This is a very good point, Bob, because everything, Brian. This is. Remember when I said months ago that I thought everything was non-physical, and you were like, "No, wait a minute," and I was like, "Yes, yes, yes. I think everything is." Physical, except like you said, Bob, your mouth and the words that come out. And it's interesting to me because in talking about the effects of breathing out, you know, from the RNA drops and everything, my dog, Bella, now this sounds, but it just goes to show you the effect on non-physical. My dog, Bella, has actually started to get younger. She used to have all this gray hair on her muzzle, and it's going away. And she also used to have a big, big tumor on her spine, and it's gone. And I talk to her all the time, always kissing her face and breathing on her and stuff like that. And it's interesting to me that her muzzle has gone, as the gray is coming out of the dog's face, you know, because I'm constantly in her face when I'm showing her affection. So that goes to show you how just your breath changes non-physical, like all place, with your words and with your actual exhaling. It's hard to think about it in a big, you know, environment, I think, but when you see it in a very small place, like in with a relationship to my dog, it's kind of, it's very cool.
Yeah, so I'm thinking the chart, the first seven rings or six rings, which include the fifth ring is RNA and the sixth ring is DNA, I think, or vice versa, one's DNA and one's RNA. If you think of the map you have of your inner chemistry, that's a visual image. So the first six rings are I, and the last seven rings are the sound environment, the bubble around you. So sound is a better image for a surrounding environment than the eye, because the eye sees particulars. So you see particulars in your stomach, in your chemistry, and it's surrounded by the ear. The interplay of that is the tactility. This is a whole tactile interplay going on among the 14 rings. And James is going to take each ring, separate them from the other rings, and make each one of them an environment or a hologram bubble. So you have 14 rings floating around, or 14 environments, which might mean
when they're all moving like a gyroscope, that's the 14 degrees of freedom, and that means that there's complete and total movement.
They'll be moving 14 different ways. They'll be moving 14 different ways.
Which was so important to get the lid out of the Ark of the Covenant and to get that. Because it's almost like if you had a bicycle tire and you're, you know, it's spinning around and you stick a big stick in the spokes, it's going to stop the tire thing. So you take all your power and you put it in a box. Unless you get the box out of the middle of the wheel's not going to move.
Yeah, now another.
So this is your 14 degrees of freedom?
Yes, the 14 rings.
This is the 14 rings.
Wait a minute, hold on. Each ring has 14 degrees of freedom.
Right, So do you see each ring moving as a degree of freedom, or they just move 14 different ways?
Every single ring expresses 14 degrees of freedom in itself.
Okay, so how does each ring, which contains 14 degrees, how does it move?
Tilt, spin, pitch, roll, yaw.
So it moves
flip.
14 ways. Each ring moves 14 ways, but the thing that's moving 14 different ways, how is it moving, the whole total object?
What do you mean?
So it just moves 14 different ways.
Each ring moves
in 14 different ways. Yeah.
But what about that movement in relation to another ring?
Well, while let's say ring 7 is expressing it's all 14 of its degrees of freedom, well, to say how is that relative to ring 8, would be like, okay, that's back to the original thing where Ion says take a dodecahedron, take the angles, and then, you know, it just multiplies, because between one ring and another, you got 14, and for each one of them, times 14, so it's like 14 to the power of 14, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's so many different combinations.
Right.
Where does the Ark of the Covenant fit into all of this?
It doesn't. The Ark of the Covenant is in the tabernacle outside the circle.
Okay.
There's also this, if you look down, think of looking at the cell there.
Oh,
also,
yes.
You're looking, listen to this,
circle.
Sue. You look down at the circle.
Right.
And see as if you're at the top of the building and you're looking down
right.
at 14 stories, 14
yes.
tiers. So it's the palace. It's also Solomon's temple. And outside of Solomon's temple is the what's called the tabernacle, where the ark was kept. So there's different ways to look at this thing. And if you go to Dan Winter and these guys, they limit this image to silly metaphysical points, maybe even including doing feng shui in your home. All right, I've heard them talk about feng shui as the real art that you get from this thing. But there's whole environments, and every technology that will be invented, Coldplay, everything is in here. So the angel sees all that the ascendant man will create. It's all embedded in the image of the cell, or the image of this diagram. So all of human experience and knowledge, when you are ascending, you haven't ascended, the stages that a little man goes through is in this diagram.
So the angels can see this.
Yeah, they see the perfect cell and how the little man gets there. Another aspect is the little man starts in the center ring and is floating sort of out towards the 14th ring, while the angel is going from the 14th ring and moving in towards the central ring. So the systole-diastole action of the heart is going on here. Little men is floating out, and angels are coming in, and maybe they change. They do vice versa. So can you imagine making a YouTube or a movie out of this diagram?
Well, you sent me that beautiful, colorful kaleidoscope, and that was very similar, I think, and the fact that it drew you into the center and then it spit you out from the center.
Yeah. But we're trying to say, if you went to the Akashic Records, the old image where all inventions ever made are in the Akashic Records,
mm-hmm.
the whole cycle of technology from speech to satellites and the internet, all that is in this image.
All technologies.
Yeah.
All extensions of man.
Yeah, updates of the angel image, because the angel is the active ingredient in this cell, in this movement, from the angel's point of view.
So the angel is the active ingredient, or the angel considers themselves the actual ingredient?
It's what they see and what they do. So they see the humans with a perfect cell. So this is the cell they see.
But what is the action that they take to create, help man?
They take you to the guff.
Of the perfect cell.
They take you to the guff.
But why would they be involved in the perfect cell? I thought they stood outside of man.